Welcome back. Good to have you with us once again. We're here on the eve of another Premier League season. I've been rattling around the house too long this summer, playing too much fantasy football, but I think we're desperate for Premier League to start again. I think we're ready to ride this roller coaster. Saints kick off their campaign away at Burnley, one of the longest trips of the season. Thankfully, it's come early, so we won't be having frostbite in the fingers this time around. So join us then for the rest of this build-up show. Nick and I discuss how we think Saints are shaping up after an unbeaten pre-season. And I also chat to our opposition to find out all the topics at Turf Moor.
As much as we are proud of winning four and drawing one, it means absolutely nothing. All that counts is when we kick off against Burnley.
Delighted to see him on. I mean, it's not a signing that's going to turn any heads, really. He's not going to set the world on fire, but he knows the club. It'll fit into our system quite well, like I said, a rigid 4-4-2 system. And he scores goals.
And an away game wouldn't be complete without your bite-sized away, guys. So stay tuned for that then later on in the show. And as a standard procedure, again, this episode is available to download in the card above my head if you're watching on YouTube, and available on most good audio platforms below the show. So I think we're just about ready to kick off the campaign. Join us for our Burnley big match build-up show. So here we are again then, Nick, on the eve of a brand new season. We've got sort of a brand new set. We'll see how it goes, see if it falls apart. But we're here to chat Burnley then. Only a few days to go when this show comes out. But let's start then. Obviously, we don't have a Premier League game to talk about, but only pre-season, unbeaten. What can we take from it?
Well, as I've said all season, you know, there's not a lot you can take from pre-season results. All you can take from it, you know, the manager will take a lot because he's looking at various players. He's looking at different players. He's looking for their reactions. He's looking for how they react in certain situations. As much as we are proud of winning four and drawing one, it means absolutely nothing. All that counts is when we kick off against Burnley. It's always nice to win pre-season games. There's no doubt about that. It's a plus point, but it means nothing. I watched Saints years ago, and over the years, breeze through pre-season, beating teams left, right and centre, and then losing 6 out of 7 games. absolutely nothing to take from it, apart from we've learned a lot of things about our squad.
What does it do to the players, though, first and foremost? Obviously, I guess, you know, winning games breeds confidence.
Winning games breeds confidence, but it's the class quality of opposition that you're playing. You know, the managers will look to bring, you know, to try and get a pre-season that builds up its momentum so that eventually you get to a team where you play the last game, as we have done against FC Colton, in fairness, where you play a team that's meant to be of a reasonable standard and a similar standard of yourselves, and you beat them. And from that, we got it. But I think privately, that although Ralph Hasenhüttl will talk about how the team played well, worked well, ran well, and the players will talk about that, they know that Colton weren't any great shakes. And as, you know, Borussia Mönchengladbach mullered us last year, to quote an old German player. We mullered FC Köln this year, so we'll see.
I mean, Ralph has obviously played a few formations as well through the summer as well. Difficult to find out sort of right now, really, what is our strongest 11. And actually, we had a clip sent over from Jake from St. Mary's Musings. And he's also sent over his suggestions. You know, you can see the rest of our sort of preview in the season preview earlier this week. But I wanted to use this clip once again.
As it stands, my best 11 would see Angus Gunn in goal, Jan Valeri at right back, a central defensive partnership with Yannick Vestergaard and Jan Bednarek, with Ryan Bertrand on the left. Oriol Romeu sitting in defensive midfield with Højbjerg and James Ward-Prowse in front of him, and a front three pairing of Danny Ings, Che Adams and Nathan Redmond, hopefully with Ings and Che Adams sort of interchanging either central or on the right.
So I guess that was Jake's strongest 11, though. But, Ralph has obviously deployed
a 3-4-3 and a 4-2-2-2. He had some success with Leipzig in previous years.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, there isn't a strongest 11. If we have a strongest 11, we're in trouble because, you know, Ralph will mix around the team, you know, to suit the opposition. So the strongest 11 will vary according to the opposition. You know, if you have, do we play three centre backs? Do we play two? Do we play three central players? Do we play two? Do we play two up front? Do we play one? There's a lot. I was watching Leeds play at Bristol City, and they said that Bielber, the Leeds manager, his idea of fun is he goes running with headphones, listening to a podcast of the number of football formations. Apparently, there's 23 different formations, or 22. I wasn't paying that much attention. So there isn't a best 11. The best 11, you might have the 11 best players, but they're not always going to be in your best 11. And there's times when you have to drop your best player in order to accommodate the formation that you want to play sometimes. So Ralph either likes to go three central defenders or he likes to go with a back four. So some central defender's got to drop out. You've got to employ someone extra or lose someone in midfield or lose someone up front. There's no best 11.
And look, Burnley is a, you know, physical, strong side, you know, huge centre backs, big strapping centre forwards, always want to get rough and tumbled up with these centre backs of our team, you know, and also last year denied by a last minute penalty of a victory. With Peter Crouch heading the ball down onto Jack Stevens. Now, this is a huge talking point as well, and we were aggrieved of this decision at the 90th minute plus stoppage time, whatever it was. But this season, we will have video assistant referees. Will it hinder or help our campaign?
Don't know. It might extend it because we might still be watching VAR in July. But, you know, Peter Crouch has always been a thorn in our side for Burnley. And for other clubs, Stoke and Liverpool, what we've got to look at, Peter Crouch is retired, so he's not going to be playing for Burnley. Sam Vokes, a player, a local Saints supporting lad, has always been a thorn in our side. He's not at Burnley anymore, he's at Stoke. You know, so there's two things changed from when we played Burnley last season. So hopefully, I don't know, maybe Burnley won't be as physical going up front. They certainly won't have anyone the height of Peter Crouch.
Well, we've got one boy. The Burnley boy returns back to Turf Moor, though, as a player that we obviously know a lot about. Jay Rodriguez signed for them in this summer. A very sort of, a fan favourite, if you like, as well. But, you know, obviously a long campaign to go, no, Nick. Hopefully, have you studied the new rule book?
No.
Do you want me to recite it back to you?
No. I know some of the new rules and I've read some of them and, you know, they're complicated. I mean, you know, defenders can go in the area, I know that, and at a goal kick, so that's not going to change much.
Okay, so let's just run through very quickly then for the viewers and listeners at home. Rule number one, there's 10 sort of rules. Nine rules, in fact, actually added to the Premier League this season as well. So substitutions, they can leave the pitch at the nearest point, so rather than sort of time wasting across the pitch. The free kick walls, when there's a defensive wall of three or more defenders, the attackers are not allowed within 1 yard of the wall. Drop balls, as of next season, the last team to touch the ball will be giving it straight back to the opposition. Goalkeeper's behaviour for penalties, no touch into the goal frame. No movement, one part of the boot touching the goal line, one penalty is taken, no standing behind the line. As you said, goal kicks, players are allowed inside the penalty area to allow them to sort of play out from the back, if you like. Now, accidental handballs, I've seen that over a number of times since, you know, the last 2-3 years. A goal that is scored directly from a hand or an arm, even if it's accidental and a player creating a goal-scoring opportunity after having gained control of the ball using a hand or arm, even if accidental, will no longer be allowed. So Decore's, you know, goal at Watford a couple of years ago springs to mind for me. Celebrations, a player can be booked for their celebration even if the goal is disallowed. head-to-head records. Now, not that probably Saints will get anywhere near the Europa League places, setting our expectations a little low this season. But if two teams are tied on points, goal difference, goals for and goals against, then their place in the league will be determined by their head-to-head record. And just an offbeat one as well, Nick, if you were to select three Saints players to fulfil your fantasy football team, which players would you count on this season? And maybe even score some points at Turf Moor.
Right, so how do they get points in fantasy football?
Points are awarded for goals, for clean sheets, assists. You get a fewer points for assists. You get bonus points for playing on the pitch for 90 minutes or more. So who are you banking on for this weekend and perhaps for the rest of the season?
I reckon Danny Ings would be a good bet for it, because I think Danny Ings is capable of being fit and play and scoring. If he stays fit, he's capable of getting anywhere between 10 to 15 goals. He's a very clever player. And I think he'll have a few assists to his name. And as he's not a goalkeeper, I think he'll get a lot of clean sheets. So
strikers can't get bonus points.
I
clean
know,
sheets.
I know that. But so I'd have Danny Ings. I'd probably have Shea Adams. And I wouldn't be betting too much on defenders for clean sheets and the like. So players that play 90 minutes, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. So I'll probably go with him.
All right, well, there you have it then. And just to wrap things up, for our first preview of the season, a prediction at Burnley.
A prediction at Burnley is that I think that we're long overdue a win there. Don't think we've won there in a little while now, maybe a decade or so. I can't remember. We certainly can't remember a win there since we've returned to the Premier League. I think the last time was when I think Gregor Raziak might have scored. So that's a long, long time ago. So I'm going for a win. And I just got a feeling we might do it 3-1.
All right. Well, they're your favourite scoreline to start the Premier League campaign with 3 points. Thanks for speaking to us, Nick. And I'm sure I'll speak to you later on this week.
No problem. There we go.
There you have it then. Let me know your score predictions in the comments below. How are you feeling ahead of the first game of the season? It'd be good to hear from you and your expectations of Saturday afternoon. Anyway, on to your away guide. It wouldn't be complete without it then at Burnley. Of course, it is one of the longest ones of the season. And you're looking at almost a 5-hour road trip from Southampton. So you want to be getting on the road for around 7 o'clock to be getting in to the ground in good time. Now, for the most important things, some liquid refreshment and the beer and the away pubs nearby. Now, there is the cricket ground in the shadow of the football ground, which is an away designated pub. So I do recommend checking in there for some cheaper pints. But for some alternative or some real ale, some camera pubs, there are a few around Burnley within a 10-15 minute walk. There is the Ministry of Ale or the Bridge Beer House if you're after something different for match day. Now then, on to our opposition. Time to find out all the topics around Turf Moor. So welcome along then to the second half of this Burnley big match build-up show. Online, filling in at last minute, on transfer deadline day, no less. I'd like to introduce actually one of the newest kids on the block, if you like, in the sort of podcast community, Joe, the Turfcast, the brand new Burnley podcast. Good to meet you. How are you, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yourself?
Not too bad. A quiet day, hopefully, for Saints. But as this video goes out, it'll be after their deadline has passed. Firstly, though, Burnley, how's your pre-season?
Pre-season, we're all right. We had a couple of sticky games against Crewe, but we played two games at once that day. So we're kind of a mixture of the squad. They were like a mixture between under-23s and the first team. And we also played at Port Vale that day, but we got beat against Crewe. We drew against Wigan, which weren't great because we were winning 2-0. So we've essentially thrown that one away. But then we've played Parma. The Italian Serie A team beat them 2-0, two goals from Jay Rodriguez. And we also played Nice, the French side, who we absolutely murdered 6-1. But their defending was shocking. I don't understand how they're in the top French league, to be honest. Watching them that day, they were absolutely abysmal.
Mm. I guess, you know, not too much can be taken from pre-season. It's mostly a fitness exercise. But yeah. What have you taken from it, really? Are you seeing a formation or a shape that might be going forward in the Premier League?
It's just the same as what everyone knows Burnley are, 4-4-2,
your two up top. Obviously, we brought J-Rod in, who you boys will know quite well, from West Brom. So it's going to be interesting to see how he fits in. Dash doesn't normally give too much away in pre-season. He does normally use his last pre-season game as the game where he will play the side, but it was quite mixed. I think Ben Gibson started, for example. And I can't see him starting because Tarkey was on the bench, but there was a lot of rumours about him going to Leicester at the time, which seemed to have died down. So maybe that was the reason for that. But no, yeah, I think the only thing is you'll expect Pope in the net, the usual back four, the usual midfield, really, because we haven't really brought anyone in from midfield. And then it's just interesting to see who's going to be up top. Is it going to be J-Rod and Chris Wood, J-Rod, Barnes and Chris Wood? That's the only intriguing part.
And I guess the transfers... really a hot topic at the moment. And, you know, the Burnley boy did well, come back home. Jay Rodriguez started his career, went down south, played with us for a few years, went up to the Baggies and now back at Burnley. Good to see him home.
Yeah, delighted to see him home. I mean, it's not a signing that's going to turn any heads, really. He's not going to set the world on fire, but he knows the club. It'll fit into our system quite well. Like I said, a rigid 4-4-2 system. And he scores goals. If he's given service, he scores goals, and he's shown that in pre-season.
I'm really happy to see him actually sort of, you know, really kick on after his horrific injury where he spent best part of sort of 12 months on the sidelines. Yeah. I think it was he injured himself at Man City or somewhere. Didn't really replicate any sort of the form that we saw early days in the Premier League when we came up with him. Because, of course, he signed sort of the first year that he came back. Never really replicated that, but went to West Brom sort of last season or so. He spent a year and a half there. Scored, you know, best part of double figures, 15, 20 goals for him. And if he can score anywhere near that, then, you know, you guys will be sort of well away from relegation, right?
Yeah, well, if he gets 10 at a club like Burnley, it tends to be a good return. I think last season, don't know the figures off the top of my head, but I think Barnsley and Wood both hit double figures. So if you can get a third striker in that hits double figures as well, that's 30 goals there minimum. And obviously, Burnley aren't known for scoring too many goals. So if we can have three strikers scoring 10 goals each, then yeah, we probably will be safe for relegation.
And he can score anywhere from the pitch, really. He can score tap-ins, he can score sort of 25 yards corkers, if you like. But, you know, obviously, Burnley, it wouldn't be without transfers out as well. A sort of cult figure really departed just this week. Tom Heaton, your club captain. Who's going to pick up the armband this time now?
It's probably going to be Ben Mee. It's not been officially announced yet, unless I've missed something this morning. But, for example, the season that Tom Heaton dislocated his shoulder, which was a season we actually did the best we've ever done in the Premier League when we finished seventh. It was Ben Mee who was the captain. So I would suspect that Ben Mee will pick it up. But like I said, nothing's been officially announced. There's been a few rumours that it might be Tarkey, but I'd be very surprised if it's not Ben Mee.
And of course, Tarkowski, a lot of rumours suggesting he may be going to another club. But a bit like Saints, I think it's going to be a relatively quiet deadline day, right?
Yeah, I can't see Tarkey leaving now at this stage. I think it'd be criminal from the club to let him go at this stage. Obviously, we won't have time to replace him unless they've already sounded somebody out. But there's been a bid rejected from Middlesbrough for Dale Fryer, so it looks like that's a no-goer. But yeah, I'm hoping for a quiet one. Maybe an incoming. We've been linked with Danny Drinkwater, but according to the local press, it's quite quiet at the minute. So hopefully that picks up.
And, you know, you sort of mentioned there a minute ago, you haven't really sort of brought anybody in for the midfield. Would you say that's your war sort of weakness? That we can sort of target at the weekend?
Definitely. It's weird. We've needed a central midfielder at Burnley for 2 or 3 years. And for some reason, we're just not bringing any in. I like Jack Cork, but I don't think he's a great midfielder. He's probably a good championship midfielder at best. Ashley Westwood, I would have said the same about him before last season, but he had a fantastic season last season, won player of the year. So if I can get someone to play alongside Ashley Westwood and he can replicate the form from last season, then I think that will be all right, because then we'll have Jack Cork as backup if needed. But yeah, we are struggling at the minute because we have got Stephen Defoe, who is probably the most technically gifted Burnley player I've ever seen pull on a shirt, but he's always injured. And I mean, he's ridiculous. He's worse than Robbie Brady. He's injured all the time. He spent honestly, he spent more time injured than he has on the pitch, which is a real shame because he's such a quality footballer. He scored some brilliant goals, one against Bristol City in the FA Cup a couple of years ago, one against Hull. But we just don't see him enough. So unfortunately, I think we need to offload him. Maybe Robbie Brady as well, because he's the same, and bring in a couple of midfielders. But obviously, that's what I wanted to do 2 months ago, but now it's not going to happen.
And I guess if we pick up the point on Danny Drinkwater, if he were to sort of come, it's always the problem bringing players from such a high-caliber club because of the wage that he's been put on that contract.
Yeah, well, Burnley well known for not paying high wages. I think the highest earner we've got is Chris Wood on around 50 grand. Whereas you see even clubs like yourselves, Bournemouth, for example, you have a couple, I know Bournemouth do, they have a few players on 100k a week. Burnley will never pay that sort of money. So even if we do bring Danny Drinkwater in, it'll be a case of Chelsea supplementing his wage. Probably we pay 50, they pay 50. That's not RTK knowledge, that's just me guessing. But yeah, I think he'll be a good addition. He's definitely a quality player. He's won the Premier League. You know, and then he went to Chelsea. He's not done so well at Chelsea, to be fair. Maybe a little too much pressure because obviously Chelsea are a far bigger club than Leicester. But we'll see. I think Dash can get the best out of them sort of players. So hopefully he comes in. But as I said, at the minute, it is quite on the front. But it is about, what, still 10 to 11 in the morning. So plenty of time to go.
Who knows what happens as well. And one thing I've noticed as well recently over the last sort of couple of years, whilst Sean Dyche has sort of developed a consistency through the squad, it's very much a British core. You know, you've got a lot of technical players as well, including a few overseas players that have the technical ability, such as Goodmanson, yeah. You know, Jeff Hendrick, yeah. And Brady are great players on the day as well.
Yeah, it always has been really at Burnley. It's just, it seems, especially in the Dice, this British core. But obviously, you have mentioned a few of the overseas players. Mainly, the main overseas players do tend to be Irish as well. But we have got Goodmanson, like you say, and he's probably one of our most technically gifted players. But obviously, there's Dwight McNeil as well. He only came into the side last season after a few injuries. Again, Robbie Brady, Stephen Defoe, and Jeff Hendrick at the time as well, I think. So he came into the side and he's been fantastic. I genuinely believe he will play for England. He will be a brilliant footballer. He'll play for a top six side and he'll play for England. He's that good.
Sean Dyche is doing his best to really kind of shy away and move away from the sort of bullish stereotype he's sort of gained over the years.
Yeah, well, last season we tried to play a different sort of expansive style of football rather than just the compact style that got us to seventh and kept us up the year before. But that didn't really work out so well for us, so we had to sort of like revert back to the bullish sort of style. So it'll be interesting to see how we do this season, but judging by the players we got, it'll be the usual compact, bullish sort of British style that Dash normally employs.
All right, and it goes without saying that you'll probably be within the same bracket of clubs floating around mid-table. Would that be your season expectation?
I'd bite your hand off a mid-table right now. I don't think we'll be in trouble. I think we'll be in trouble. I don't think we'll go down. I can't see us going down while Sean Dyche is manager. When he leaves, then I'll be very, very worried. But I think he earned his stripes last season, not that he needed to, but obviously we were in a lot of trouble. He made some big decisions about dropping Joe Hart, bringing Dwight McNeil in, although that was really had his hands tied behind his back, like I said, due to injuries. But he made some decisions, changed it around a bit. Kept us up again quite comfortably in the end, which I didn't think we'd see. I honestly, when we got beat at Everton, at home to Everton on Boxing Day and at home to Leicester, them 2 days I walked off the turf thinking we're doomed, we're going down here. But both times we turned it around and thankfully we didn't and we're here again. But I think we'll probably finish around 15th, 14th, 16th, that sort of region. Probably similar sort of area that you're expecting.
Indeed, and great stuff. Good to speak to Joe, and just sign us off then with a score prediction to open the Premier League weekend. And of course, you know, this is going to be the blockbuster, the final game of Match of the Day, right?
Yeah, 100% last game of Match of the Day. I think we always are, and you always are. So when we're together, it's going to be the final game, definitely. But I've got to back us. It's so difficult though to predict the early game of the season, the first game of the season. Like for example, last week, Championship and League One and League Two first games, I put a 6-fold accumulator on. I genuinely got every single one wrong. So do not back this bet what I'm about to say. But I think we'll win. You've got to back. I've always got to back us at home against anybody, especially teams that aren't in the top 10. So I'm going to say 2-1 to the Claretts, maybe a goal from Ingsy for you.
All right, well, there you go. Yeah, Danny Ings, of course, a former Burnley boy. Went off injured last season, last time round at Turf Moor.
Yeah.
But really good to speak to Joe. Just to remind us where we can find you now that you're on the airwaves and audio podcasts all across the internet.
Yeah, well, yesterday we landed, we dropped, as the kids say, on iTunes. But we're on Spotify as well in Acast. The only one out there at the minute is a teaser. There isn't actually an official podcast out there, but hopefully I'll be getting one recorded today or tomorrow, probably tomorrow.
Great stuff. And that's Turfcast all across the internet, all on the social media platforms.
That's the one. Cheers, mate.
Now then, that's our first match build-up show out of the way. Of course, let me know how you feel and your score predictions in the comments below. It'd be good to hear from you. And remember, this season, you can also check us out on the radio on 103.9 Voice FM
in the FM Southampton surrounding areas, DAB Digital Radio, online, and on the TuneIn Radio app, so you can listen to us all around the world. We'll be playing your matchday anthems and getting you in the mood for matchday. So, thanks for watching and listening for the first episode of the season. Bring on the football. Up the Saints.